And today I'm going to talk a little bit about hospitality. Hospitality. In my life, I've been very fortunate. I've travelled a fair bit, particularly with doing music things. So I've been able to go around the place and stay with many different people. I stayed in various different places. In the sabbatical, I had a time at my friend's house, Dave and Louise. I think most of you have met. They lived the other side of behind the tunnel, so I had a week in their massive house on my own. So I was able to make lots of tuba noise and cycle my bike, you know, just went in that really hot weather, which was great. Went to Norway again with the grasshoppers, went away with Kairos for a few days. Obviously went to the Philippines for 3.5 weeks, and where else did I go? Oh, and I stayed at my friend Ian Stackhouse, you know, the Guildford Baptist Church. He has a house in Chichester, which he kindly let me stay in again on my own for a few days at the end, which was great. So I've experienced hospitality in many ways over that sabbatical period. But like I say, throughout my life, you know, when you go, particularly when you go away with a Christian group, because budgets are sometimes not the same as if you were on tour with, I don't know, the London Symphony Orchestra or something, then you often get to stay with families, which I actually quite enjoy. We went away, Kairos went away. So Kairos is a group I play with, if you don't know, a jazz group from time to time. And we used to play more and in the early days before we had family. And in 2003, just after Louise and I got married, Kairos went on a 10-day trip to France. We did 14 gigs in 10 days. That's what you do when you're young. And we stayed in different places, in different families. And I can remember we stayed in one house where they had a full-size, probably about the size of that wall there, sort of alpine scene behind the bed. You know, it was like a full proper picture. I don't know how they did it. It was like wallpaper picture. And you kind of felt like you were in the Sound of Music, you know, in the bedroom, because you had this backdrop in there. And they're a lovely family. I had a really nice time with them. I also stayed with a guy who didn't speak any English, and I only speak that much French. And he was blind. And normally I get away with gesticulating and pointing, I'll have that, and I'll have this, or whatever. And do you know what? I think we had the most profound and actually deepest connection with this man, because you really had to try hard to communicate, because he couldn't see and couldn't speak English, and I only spoke a little bit of French. And so somehow we managed to have this beautiful time where we stayed with him in his house, and it was great, lovely. But I want to tell you about one particular place that we stayed, also on this trip, because we've been married about a year, and Louise had some kind of prophetic insight, and she was convinced that we would stay with somebody, in her mind, rich, who would have a swimming pool. So she packed her swimming costume in faith, thinking that we will definitely stay with somebody who has a swimming pool and live it up a bit. I can't remember, if I'm honest. I definitely wasn't in the same level of faith. Maybe she packed mine for me. I don't know. I've never been a great fan of swimming anyway, so I probably would have, even if there was a swimming pool, I would have just off we go. Anyway. So we'd been various different places, and no swimming pool had materialized with the people we had stayed with thus far. But we were in Paris, and we were being picked up by this guy. And Louise was thinking, maybe this is the... Every time we get picked up by somebody, maybe this is the one kind of thing. And he turns up in a Mercedes. She's thinking, good start. So we get into the Mercedes. It's probably about 6 o'clock or something in the evening, and so it's getting a little bit dark. And... this guy, apparently, again, spoke no English whatsoever. And it was a little bit awkward. So we were driving through Paris in the Mercedes, Louise in the back, I was in the front, and I was desperately, with my very small amount of French, trying to make polite conversation. I remember pointing out something on a roundabout for some reason, and trying to, because I knew the word rond-point. That's roundabout, I think. At least I thought it was. If it isn't, then he was really confused, and I was trying to say that that's a nice statue on the rond-point. Oh, goodness, it was hard work. And we got to his place, which turned out to be quite a small apartment in a block. So the Mercedes didn't materialize. And you know, it was hard. And I think I can't remember exactly how it went about. But we got shown into this quite small room, which looked like their kind of spare room. It turns out his wife was away, and so he was just in this small room. And then there's this tiny pull-out bed. And I kind of just went, you know, so I wasn't rude, but it was, you know, you can say things when you think they speak, that they speak French only and you can speak English. So I was like, I'm going to sleep on that kind of thing. It was quite small. And it's one of those IKEA pull-out beds, you know, where rather than ones that you pull out and you sleep like that, you pull out and you sleep like this, you know, the kind of thing. I mean, but as a result, it didn't quite go flat. And so rather than flat and you're kind of, your legs are like this, I was like sleeping this and Louise was here. And we were only been married a year and you think, oh, this is romantic, we'll be nice and cozy together. But no, it's not. It's really, really uncomfortable when you're trying to hold onto this bed and not sort of just fall off it into the middle. It was probably the worst. I don't know whether we had any sleep. And I have been a little bit rude about this bed. And so then I get up in the morning and the guy greets us in the morning and he says, oh, good morning, Richard. Did you sleep well? You speak English, don't you? And I'm thinking, what did I say? What did I say about the bed? And turns out, I mean, we did subsequent trips to the same church, so he didn't disown me, but he actually translated for the preacher into English the next time we were there. Thinking, why did you do that? Why did you put us through that pain of, you know, making me think you don't speak any English, and then I was rude about the room that you've provided for us. It was a terrible bed. But nevertheless, I wouldn't have said that if I knew. And I thought, with hindsight, I'm thinking, this is strange hospitality. Maybe this is cultural. This is the French Parisian way. I don't know. But it was strange hospitality. So if you ever have somebody who speaks French and you speak French, my advice would be communicate in the same language. Anyway, so hospitality, that was my strange experience of hospitality. Let me give you a few verses here. Romans 12 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I'm going to do this now. I'm going to invite somebody in. Do come in. We're just talking about hospitality, so I'm just inviting you in to be hospitable. Hebrews 13 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. 1 Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, what is hospitality? What are we talking about? I think if you go with the Bible definition, it's showing love to strangers. Showing love to strangers. It's taking a lead in gathering people too. So it's not just like, oh, it'll just happen. But it's actually sort of, yeah, come. And join with us. Henry Nouwen, one of my favourite books written by Henry Nouwen, called The Prodigal Son, Return of the Prodigal Son, he says hospitality means primarily the creation of free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Creation of free space where the stranger can enter in and become a friend instead of an enemy. And I think particularly today, as we've hadn't planned it like this, but just, you know, as we think about how the world is so split and continues to be split, enemies in the world, that actually God's hospitality is good news in a world where there is enemies. And actually, as Henry Nouwen says, let's make a space to invite the stranger in so that they are no longer an enemy but a friend. So I want to ask you a question. Who thinks they're good at hospitality? Bold enough to say, Margaret, I agree, I think you're right. Oh, we get a cup of tea, well, offered a cup of tea or a glass of water when I come to your house, yeah? Yeah? Anybody else think they're good at hospitality? Filled with grace. Who thinks somebody else here is good at hospitality? We can open our points, Margaret, to make her feel good that she's there. She's been brave. Graham, you reckon Graham and Sheila are good at hospitality? And Wendy? Not Reg, though. Yeah? So I think what we're saying is we think some people have a gift of hospitality and some people maybe don't. And I think some people also have a particular gift for a particular kind of hospitality. So I think actually Reg is very hospitable, but not necessarily at his home, but when people come to this place, it's like there's a real welcome from Reg. Same with Margaret as well, even going beyond your house, there's a hospitality here, which is external to where you live, I suppose. Some people can put on a real party. Some people just always have time for you. You know, if you bump into them at Tesco's or something, they're hospitable because they have time for you there, rather than, you know. So some people have a gift for that. Some people don't, and it's okay. That's all right. But the Bible calls us all to practice this hospitality. It's how we live. It's how we connect with one another. And it's just making that space, I suppose. And so we're going to talk about how that works a little bit. But if you think about it, Jesus said, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And what he was saying is basically, I ain't got no house. I've got no home. I'm going to be on the road. He was like a touring musician, just without the musician bit. So I'm kind of relate to that. And he relied on the hospitality of others, didn't he? He must have done. Either that or he was sleeping out under the stars. People opened their homes for him. And as a result, though, I mean, this is the amazing thing, they had God dwell with them in their house. How cool is that? And so they didn't just welcome in a man or a stranger, or maybe an enemy in them, because we all have these kind of ideas in our head, but they welcome God into their space. So I want to start exploring today that hospitality isn't just a social skill. You know, oh, Margaret can make a good cup of tea. I mean, that's part of it, but actually there's also a spiritual element to it. And that there's something on a human level, but there's also something on a spiritual level. Because remember last week, everything's spiritual. Talk about it more later. So let me just talk how we do culture. How do we do hospitality in our culture? I think part of our problem is that we think hospitality means something along the lines of, oh, okay, we'll come round and I'll get the best crockery out and I'll do a three-course meal and I'll get, you know, check out my best recipe and I'll put on my best clothes. And rather than go and get everyday value stuff from Tesco's, I might go and go maybe flash out some finest stuff. And it becomes quite an event, doesn't it? And it's sort of special treatment in hospitality. When we were away in the Philippines, we stayed in a place called the Beach House in Cebu. It was part of our holiday. And we went, let me tell you how we got there. Louise normally does a lot of research when we go to stay places. So, and she'll do reviews and all this kind of thing. She's very good at that. I'm terrible at that because I get really bored after the third internet search. I can't go. I'll just book it. She will do a lot of research and find the best place. But we needed to get from Cebu City to the bottom of the island, and it was about a four-hour drive. So we wanted to stop somewhere in the middle, and because we needed to get somewhere very early the next morning. So we stopped over overnight in the middle somewhere. So she just found a place roughly where we needed to be, clicked on it, that'll do, booked it. We had this long taxi drive, and we were literally in the middle of nowhere. We got to this iron gate, which was closed. We got there about 11 o'clock, to be fair. We'd already booked it. So it's like, okay, this is very locked. So I rang the number on the thing, and this guy, bleary-eyed guy, comes out. Said, oh, sorry, I didn't think you were coming. We did say we'd be there at 9. But the taxi drive took forever. And so, oh, coming. Sorry, I'd gone to bed. Does he live there? And then we got there, and he said, here's his room. You're the third people to stay in this room. Opened, this is immaculate room. It's got massive king-size bed. The towels were folded into the shape of two swans, you know, like this. And there was this kind of beautiful bathroom, and the kids had this mezzanine floor, and they were sleeping up there. They were amazing. Massive TV, which you had that 6 zillion channels. Then we opened the doors and we found, we didn't realise, and the next morning, that you opened the doors and where Cherry is, that was the swimming pool, and then where the windows are, that was the sea. So we look at it, it's like this beautiful blue sea, sand, swimming pool, the whole thing. And then he goes, so what would you like for breakfast? Like, well, what have we got? Oh, you name it. And so, yeah, bacon, crepes, you know, Abigail can imagine this is like paradise for her. He was the loveliest guy as well. He would do anything for you, and he was Australian, so we ended up having barbecue. He gathered everyone together, so there were only three people that stayed in these three rooms, and so he had like a mini feast, you know, like we do. So he would just cook a whole load of stuff and put it out on the table and just sort of say, help us up. And it was like here, there was loads left over. And so our kids got particularly at home, they started collecting hermit crabs. And it turns out his wife collected hermit crabs. Oh, come and see my hermit crabs. So they were in her house looking at hermit crabs, and she gave them a tub, and then they were doing hermit crab. But the whole thing was just like we were completely pampered, you know. Everything was just, what do you need? He was like your best friend, but at the same time, servant as well at the same time. He's a really nice guy. And he had a gift for hospitality, which is good because he does it as a business, you know. I mean, we did pay him. But I think part of our problem is, if we don't do hospitality, we tend to think that hospitality must be along those kind of lines sometimes. And that becomes very limiting, because actually, if I say to Daniel, well, won't you come round, and then I think I've got to go to all this trouble, then it becomes really hard work, isn't it? Oh, we've got to have Daniel round, which means I've got to sweep everything, clean everything, make everything immaculate, then put on. And it's very hard to sustain that level of commitment to hospitality, if that's all it is. But this is what Pope John Paul II, when I was growing up, I thought he was like an eternal figure, because he just seemed to be there forever, Pope John Paul II. But he said, welcoming our brothers and sisters with care and willingness must not be limited to extraordinary occasions, you know, special events, but become for all believers a habit of service in their daily life. So I think what he's saying is that we need to understand hospitality as something just a little bit more ordinary, a bit more normal, a bit more kind of rough and ready. So, for instance, rather than sort of making a big deal, it's like, well, I'm having dinner on Wednesday night. We're having fish fingers and nuggets. Come round. You know, just come and share what I'm eating. I know to Keith that's like quite a good thing. Not necessarily getting all fancy, but just come and share my ordinary life. Come and share the toast I eat for breakfast. Come and share, you know, whatever it is. Ordinary life. Because I think what I find, sometimes you go to people and they'll say, oh, I'm really sorry, we haven't got any of this, we haven't got that. There's always apologies. Sometimes you drop in on somebody and say, oh, I'm sorry about the mess. And thinking, what mess? Well, you come to our house, you know. Maybe we do a good way of disguising it when you come round, but there's an awful lot of mess in our house, you know. I think, oh, what about the mess? And we come a bit like Martha rather than Mary, you know. We're worried so much about the hospitality and forget to be hospitable. Does that make sense? So, it's not really about that. It's about just come and share your thing in an ordinary way. And our other experience, primary experience in the Philippines, is we stayed with our friends, the Cobbs. You know, you've met them, unless you've met them, and we went to stay with them in their house. Which, if you know our kitchen, maybe their house is a little bit bigger than our kitchen, but with three bedrooms upstairs. So it's not a huge house. And it's quite hot in the Philippines, so, you know, it can get quite claustrophobic. But they gave us a hospitality which was that ordinary kind of hospitality. They were so welcoming. I mean, obviously we get on well with them, otherwise we wouldn't be going out to see them. They kind of went, well, this is what we eat on a Tuesday, and this is when we eat, so join in. You know, there was no fuss about it. There was no, they didn't really ask the girls, what do you like eating? They just thought, well, this is what we're eating. You know, kind of take it or leave it. Not in a kind of harsh way, but just that's what we do. We followed their pattern, their routine. We did their washing up, and they did ours, and we did their washing, and their washing, and we just mucked in. And they have four kittens, which was a challenge. I suddenly began to appreciate having a dog rather than four kittens, actually. But it was all part of it. You know, this is just ordinary life. We're not going to make an exception. You know, I'm slightly allergic to cats, so it's a bit like Margaret, you know. Not majorly, but, you know, 3 weeks. But, you know, this is just how it is. There's stray animals all over the place there. They reckoned, we got back after one day, I must have smelled, but they reckoned some animal had died in the floorboards. underneath our room. So, but that's all part of hospitality. I mean, what can you do about that? We will share, we called it the smell of death. We will share the smell of death together, you know? And it was just, they didn't go to any more trouble than they would have done if they'd tried to sort it out themselves. You know, it wasn't, oh no, we need to sort it out for the visitors. It was just ordinary. Everything was ordinary, but at the same time, really easy, because you become part of the family. Part of the family. Regular, everyday hospitality. And I think, I wonder whether we need to just get used to more just being like that with one another. Let me read you from Matthew 25, and we'll wrap this up. Matthew 25 says this, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go and visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" So this is a surprising revelation at the throne of judgment, that those who inherit the kingdom of God are those who are hospitable. Those who show hospitality by feeding hungry or giving a drink to those who are thirsty. And when I say feeding the hungry, notice here, I mean, we tend to go then to people like people that come to food bank or whatever, and we think, oh, we're feeding the hungry in that way. Yes, I think that's part of it, but actually, I don't know if you notice, but you get hungry. I get hungry. So if you feed me, or if I feed you when you're hungry, this is hospitality, right? This is kind of, also, we also get thirsty, you know. So offering a cup of tea, just to anybody, if they're thirsty, is the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about as well. These are the people that inherit the kingdom. And the surprising thing is that the people who are hospitable were unaware of what they were doing in terms of their relationship to God. Hospitality towards one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, Jesus said, is hospitality towards me, Jesus. But the people who did that were surprised. They didn't know. I mean, I wonder whether this is part of Jesus' this is the way Jesus is now. But you know, when Jesus was after the resurrection in the garden, Mary didn't recognize him. Oh, didn't realize him until then she realized. And then there was the two disciples that were walking along the road, and they were chatting away to Jesus. They didn't recognize him. And only afterwards they go, ah, that was Jesus. And I wonder, it's a bit like that, you know. We invite people in. And then, even here in the story, the people at the end of the day in judgment, they say, "What did we invite you? We invited in one of these little ones," he said. "Oh, that was, you're doing the same, we invited you in. Oh, I see. Strange, didn't know that at the time." Jesus is kind of saying, inviting others in being hospitable towards them, you're inviting me. You're making space for me as well. And so Jesus kind of let us in a little bit of a secret here. I wonder whether we realize that. That when we are hospitable, there's worship involved. When we're making space for somebody to come into our lives, we're making space for Jesus to come into our lives. Because whatever we do for the least of one of these, we do for him. So like I said at the beginning, it's not just a social thing. It's not just a people thing, but there's a spiritual element to this. When we invite others, we invite Jesus. So my challenge today is just for you to make more space for those around you, to invite them into your life, to accommodate others into your life. And in doing so, you'll make more space for Jesus. going back to what Henry Nouwen said, make space for friends. Make space, in doing so, make space for Jesus. So, here's some suggestions. How can we be more hospitable? Invite someone over for food, that's an obvious one. Invite someone for coffee. But it doesn't have to involve food. I mean, go for a walk. Say, hey, why don't you come for a walk? Share a lift or a train journey. Invite some of you, I know some of you guys get together, go to the cinema together. Invite people in on that, or play a game of cards. I know maybe our heritage says we're not allowed to play cards now. I can't remember what Mr. Williams said. Come play, let's do something together. Yeah. Sometimes hospitality can be completely spontaneous, because the other day I was walking the dog along the canal, and I like my time on my own, actually. And I bumped into this guy from St. Paul's, who I know reasonably well, and I was like, oh, this was my time. And then we just started chatting, but then I realised, no, actually, this is quite nice now. And we chatted, we were talking about all kinds of theological things, quite fast. Well, for ages, and I was kind of, oh, I've just invited him into this space, and I've got more out talking to him and being with God than I thought I would get out being on my own. Does that make sense? So sometimes to make space in our day for some unplanned hospitality. And actually think, is there anybody here that I don't know so well? Daniel was talking the other day to me about, I'm sure you've been here a bit years now or something. I don't know so-and-so so well. And that's the case. I mean, in my previous church, there was a lady called Anne, and I felt as though I knew her, because everybody seemed to know her. But then when I stopped to think about it, no, I don't know anybody. And then, no, don't know her. And then it turned out I ended up living in her house. And then I really got to know her. So sometimes we think we know people, but we can always know people better, can't we? Yeah. So look around. Is there someone here that you can just get to know better? Or think about your neighbours as well. Liam challenged Wendy on this. You know, how well do you know your neighbours? Well, she said, well, I think you said something like, I'm not so sure. Well, he said to you, well, why don't you invite them around for dinner or for lunch or something? And just be hospitable, you know. Find space to invite them in. And in doing so, remember what Jesus said. If you do give them some food to eat when they're hungry, or give them some water, or invite them in, you are doing whatever you are doing to them, you're doing it to me. So actually, we make space for him when we do that. And I just, when I was away on sabbatical, I really appreciated the hospitality that was shown towards me. Just then, and also when I think back, you know, there's many people here have shown hospitality as well, but many people throughout my life, that hospitality, you know, you sense God's love in and through that. And we're invited to be partakers and givers of that as God is welcome. So, get your diaries out afterwards. Seriously, I'm talking about this. Get your diaries out and just look at your lives and then see how can I get to that and bring them in. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you have invited us to come boldly to be with you. Lord, we thank you that just as earlier we shared that meal of communion together, remembering you and what you've done for us, but as we shared, you've invited us in. You've been hospitable towards us, that once we were enemies, but now we are friends. You've made that space for us. And I pray in our lives, let us know how to live in this way towards one another. Where there are people that are strangers around us, whether they're in this church here, or whether they are our neighbours where we live, or maybe family members, or people that we know through work or school or whatever. We pray, enable us to make space for them, that they would no longer be strangers, become friends. You say in your word, as practice hospitality, because some people have even entertained angels in doing so. There is a spiritual element to this as well. Let us know that as we do this, we not only invite people in on a social level, but we invite you, and we say more of you in our lives. Let us know and get to know you more as well as we get to know the people around. thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.